This episode is brought to you by Splash Refresher. Splash Refresher spices up my daily water intake by putting fun and hydration in one. Because as a mom, I already have my hands full. Every Splash Refresher flavor is delicious, bright, flavorful, and zero calories. I don't waste time on flavorless water I don't enjoy. I just drink Splash and I like it.
My favorite flavor is the lemon. It really does taste like lemonade.
My favorite is the mandarin orange flavor.
There's a flavor for everyone to enjoy.
Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Hello and welcome to Childproof by Betches Media. I'm Gwenna Lafland.
And I'm Tori Phantom.
This episode goes out to all the parents who have read all the parenting books and still have no idea what to do.
And to all the parents who never read a parenting book at all and are still just as lost.
I'm not going to lie. I didn't start reading parenting books until my oldest was like 8 and I had space to parent intentionally.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. The only parenting book I've read is yours. Because you've written a book now.
I have written a book.
And I read it just because you're my bestie and I like your opinions. So why don't we talk about your book today?
All right. First, we got to start the timer.
So, Gwenna Lafland, I have a question for you.
Okay.
What's it like being a TikTok sensation?
I hate you so much. Okay, so if you have followed us on social media for any significant amount of time, you know that Tori has spent probably the last 6 months absolutely triggering me by going, TikTok sensation. So what happened was when we were doing the cover design, they wanted to put this little sticker seal thing on there. We had a little bit of negative space in the design, and that's a really good place. Like if I become an award winner or if I get a New York Times bestseller or if it, like there's a really good place that's like already pre-designed that you just slap those stickers on. Because the book got an award after it was published, after all of these covers were printed up. So they needed something there. And so they decided to write TikTok sensation. I begged them not to do that.
She sent me a picture of that cover and its infancy and said, it makes me cringe so hard. And I said, noted. And that's so actually the only like, way I refer to her. And yeah. So TikTok sensation, Gwenna Lafland.
So, and I do believe the final version is in fact going to go out with the label TikTok sensation. It feels so, it feels like I am not a sensational person. So to be called a sensation, it's just, it's cringe. And I don't think it should be.
I think it's fitting. I think that's an imposter syndrome happening there. I just have to torture you as your friend. Anyway, so the book is out now and it's called Mama Cusses, A Field Guide to Responsive Parenting and Trying Not to Be the Reason Your Kids Need Therapy by Fall Out Boy. It's not. It feels like it's by Fall Out Boy, but it's not. It's
the title is needlessly long. My millennial leaked out and I didn't even notice it happening. And actually, that's the shorter title. I don't remember exactly what the original title was, but that's the shortened title.
I believe you. 100%.
I talk a lot even when I'm writing it, y'all.
So what was the inspiration for the name, though? Like, where did it come from?
So we went through a whole bunch of titles, actually, and I didn't want to call it Mama Cusses, even though that's the username that I use on the internet. Most of you know me as Mama Cusses. I was like, I don't know. It feels like if this is a parenting resource, people who prefer cleaner language, people who are maybe a little off put by vulgarity may not like it as much. And my editor looked at me through the Zoom because we're in two different states. My editor looked at me and she goes, then they weren't going to be your audience in the first place. Yeah. I was like, fair enough.
Yeah. If you had a different title and they got past that, they would also see the cussing
they
in the book.
They would immediately be like, this book is not for me.
Yeah.
Let's set expectations from the get-go and then see what happens.
Like if they're offended by Mama Cusses, they're probably going to be more offended by crotch goblins. So,
sex trophies.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that helped, you know, but honestly, like when I'm looking for books personally, I'm pretending on this episode here that I haven't read the book So you all can hear the questions you want answers to.
To be fair, though, Tori was forced to read that book by me.
Several
as
times.
It was being written.
Yeah, yeah. And the challenge, the most challenging part of reading Gwenna's book for me was while I was reading it, I would go, wait, did she already write about this? I feel like I already read this part. And then I'd remember, wait, no, we're just friends and we just had this conversation before. That was, you know, horrible challenge I couldn't overcome. But when I'm looking for a book, this was the thing I wanted to ask you because mm-hmm. I want to hear how you describe it. Because when I, as a reader, am looking for a book, number one, I do judge books by their covers. And I love your cover, even the TikTok sensation part. It is aesthetically pleasing. And so the other thing that I want to know, and when I'm reading reviews and searching for books, is especially a book like this, right? Like this mm-hmm. style of book, this field guide to responsive parenting, I want to know beforehand, is this book written as a how-to or a how-I, and take what you can from that? Does that make sense? Do I need to reword it?
It does. It does, and it makes so much sense that I very much conscientiously made this decision. This book is a how I, purely and simply. And the reason it has to be a how I, not disparaging anyone at all, but if you call a parenting book a how to, you're being super narrow-minded about it because there's not just one way how to. How to indicates that there is a pathway to correctness. And there are many pathways to correctness. There are just as many, arguably more ways to pathways to problems. But this book is a how I, and I firmly believe that all parenting books need to be viewed as a how I. These things worked for my family in my situation with my support system and my finances and my geographic location, my socioeconomic concerns. Like this book worked for me. Now, I am not so unusual that I don't think it's going to work for a whole bunch of other people too.
Right.
And there may be parts that work and parts that are never going to fly with your kids. That's all fine and dandy. But parenting books, I feel by the nature of what parenting is, have to be a how I.
Right. And I mean, and that's a thing that we've come across on this podcast and even in reading your book, where we know that as people who have similar values and intentions in parenting, that often we have totally different ideas of how that should work. And that is influenced by our experiences and who our kids are. And so that's honestly what I like about your book is that some of it we actually hadn't talked about, which was surprising based on the amount that we talk in a day. But I like the way that you present the information that gives me something to ruminate about. Because that's like my number one hobby is just rumination. And
is that a fancy word for anxiety? I feel like that's a fancy word for anxiety.
Well, if I ruminate too long, it does turn into anxiety. So, you know, you got to find a balance there. But it's in that
turns
reading
into marination at that point. It's stewing.
Yes, exactly. But it's in reading this example that is not something I have experienced and might not, but it's a thought experiment of, well, what would I do in that situation? And I think that's so helpful whenever we're interfacing with parenting content is to not go, oh, this is a how-to, but let me think harder on this. I hadn't thought about it before. Yeah. And now you gave me something to think about.
It's the concept of responsive parenting. I call it responsive parenting instead of gentle parenting because I feel there's two distinct modes. There's lots of modes, but there's two main ones. One is reactive. And one is responsive. And we've talked a ton about what responsive parenting is, but being confronted with ideas that maybe you haven't encountered this issue, maybe you will never encounter this issue, but the more you think about things that could happen, that have happened to other people, the more time you have to formulate a response instead of finding yourself forced to react.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And so, I mean, again, pretending I haven't read the book, just so our viewers who are our listeners who will be viewing your book and first judging it by its cool cover and then wondering if it's the book for them, is the book more about your life story or more of your life as a parent? Like how much of you is in the book? Like is it more autobiographical or more here is my own rumination on paper?
So I love this question. And I'm going to pretend like I didn't know it was coming, but I love this question because, I don't think those are two different things. I do give just a little bit of my childhood background. It's like a part of a chapter in the book. I give the background because it's important to know some of the decisions and some of the stories I need to tell have been frameworked. They've been created by my experience being raised. And now that it's my turn to raise a child, you need to have some of that background. But for the most part, it really focuses on my work as a parent. So my autobiographical journey of parenting, because I feel like a lot of times we get into this binary existence in so many ways. This is very complicated, but we get into this binary of I am a person and I am a parent. And who I am as a person is not the same as who I am as a parent. And who I am as a parent doesn't necessarily directly correlate to who I am as a person. And for some people, that is true. That is not, however, my experience.
But they're intrinsically connected. Yes. Like, that's how I've always viewed myself, is that like I am a person and I am a parent, mm-hmm. and I am both of those things
at the same time.
The way that I have a conversation with you is not the way I'm having a conversation mm-hmm. with my child. So they're different, right? Like, I go to my friend for support and I am the support for my kids. So your life mm-hmm. as a person and a parent, while intrinsically connected, are also separate. It's like a Venn diagram, I think.
Yeah. But there's so much in this book that, yes, I'm absolutely writing about how I react to this as a person and how I parented with it. Yes. Like, so the answer is yes, it is my life story and my work as a parent, my journey as a, I hate the word journey like this, but my journey as a parent, the answer to that, is it my life story or is it my life as a parent? Yes.
But more focused on the parenting part of it, right?
It is. It's primarily focused on the parenting. I thought that I was going to be super duper clever, and I have entirely too many streaming services. So I figured I would turn several of them off because we're not really watching anything, except that it didn't work.
So many things that we just sign up for. Maybe you signed up for the free trial and you're like, I'm going to cancel it. And then you don't. And then you pay for it. And then Rocket Money can help you with that, because Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills.
I can see all of my subscriptions in one place, even the ones that I started against my will. And if I see something I don't want or no longer want, I can cancel it with a tap. I never have to get on the phone with customer service.
They'll even try to get you a refund for the last couple months of wasted money and negotiate to lower your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is take a picture of your bill and Rocket Money takes care of the rest.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
$720, that's like a week of groceries nowadays. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/childproof. That's rocketmoney.com/childproof.
rocketmoney.com/childproof.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to stow away those jackets and sweaters and break out the shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year.
Okay, yes, it's time to put away the sweaters unless you married a polar bear. I definitely married a polar bear, and he keeps this house at a number I don't want to say because it's too low. My saving grace is that I get to wear the softest cotton sweater. It's so cozy and it's bulky and I love it, and I get to use it all year round.
Quince sweaters are so good. Quince has amazing items like premium European linen dresses, blouses and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Quince cuts out the middleman by partnering directly with top factories and passes that savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/childproof for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/childproof to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
One last time, quince.com/childproof.
Okay, so next question. I have plenty. Mm-hmm. You've seen my notes now.
I have. You had to give them to me before we started the episode.
I had to share them. What was the hardest chapter to write?
The hardest chapter to write had nothing to do with actually writing it and more about the pressure I put on myself, but it's
shocking.
It's a chapter called, and brace yourself for this grown-up title, The Big Feels Loop-De-Loo. It's a real chapter in the book.
You speak millennial fluently.
I know. It's listen, there's a reason why I didn't like TikTok sensation on the inside is cringy enough. We didn't need to slap it in the front. Okay.
Fair.
To the people listening to this, I'm going to let you in on a super duper secret. You have to read the acknowledgments when you pick up the book. And unfortunately, this is not in the audiobook. So if you're an audio listener, you will not get this experience. But if you read an ebook or print, you have to read the acknowledgments. I am a skipper of the acknowledgments. I never read them. You have to read the acknowledgments. I'm not going to tell you why.
I always read the acknowledgments.
I'm not an acknowledgement reader.
I'm so curious.
But no, the hardest chapter for me was The Big Feels Loop-De-Loo, not because it's got a stupid name, but because I think when considering the idea of a book, knew that this chapter that eventually became called The Big Feels Loop-De-Loo was the most important one because it's talking about the emotional cycle. It's talking about what happens when we're starting to
get mad. There's a lot of science in that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it wasn't technically a very hard chapter to write. I just knew that it was the most important chapter of the book. In fact, in the book, after you finish each chapter, there's a little synopsis called a too long didn't read. And The Big Feels Loop-De-Loo is the only too long didn't read that says, I'm not going to give you a too long didn't read. You have to go back and read this whole chapter I'm not going to synopsize it for you. If you only read one complete chapter from this book, it has to be this one. And so because it was such an important chapter, it was the hardest to write because I put so much pressure on myself to not fuck it up.
I love that chapter. And also just on the note of like the TLDR, I was just going to get to this on my own. One of my favorite things about your book is the formatting. It really feels like a field guide, like a handbook. It is not just a full chapter. Every page is just filled with paragraphs. There's charts. Mm-hmm. There's boxes of extra information. The formatting makes it really fun. And especially when you're reading a book that is like informational, sometimes I feel like we can feel not overwhelmed, but kind of intimidated. Mm-hmm. Like, is this going to be like a textbook? It isn't. It's fun. It's got boxes. I like them.
And when I was putting it together, I very much wanted it. I knew this was going to be true, not because I'm such an amazing writer and parenting communicator. But
I mean, you are.
I've experienced this when I've been doing my own research and reading and looking at other people's parenting books. Some of the best parenting books absolutely made me feel like a piece of trash. I walked away from that going, well, I'm doing it all wrong. I have to rethink my entire life.
Throw all the kids out, get new ones because I messed up. Just
check Goodwill. See if they've got a set on the half price for sale. I don't. These ones are it's too late for them. but no, some of the books, and it was a necessary sort of confrontation within myself. Oh, I can be doing this better. Oh, I didn't think of it that way. Oh, that's a view that I hadn't considered. But it still felt very, I'm going to throw a hammer at you and then a crowbar and then a wrench and then a pipe and then a brick. And do you feel like a piece of shit now? Good. My job is done.
This feels like the little old lady who swallowed a fly.
Yeah.
That's how that just felt. And then it's a brick and then a crowbar.
Piling it on there.
Yeah. Well, that's honestly, that's what I like about this is what worked for me. And I'm sharing it with you because it could help you too. And I like that because it gives a space to the consumer of that media to not feel like it's a direct attack on them. It's not conveyed in a way that says, if you're doing this, this is why it's bad. Instead, it says, here's what I did and the reason why. And that, again, gives you that piece to think about. And I think that's really helpful when you are facing challenging things you want to change in yourself.
I very much wanted the reading experience, and it's so surreal to the reading experience, the experience my readers are experiencing. Like, it's so surreal to talk like this, but I very much wanted the reader to feel like if you have to sit with some information, if you have to introspect, I wanted it to feel like the call was coming from inside the house, not some nameless, faceless being behind a computer attacking you. Does that make sense? Yeah,
absolutely. Here's the thing that I love about Gwenna's book. So if you are an audiobook listener, you will hear that it is in Gwenna's voice. She got to read it. It's very cool. Yeah. If you get the paper copy or, you know, a digital copy and you are reading it, you're still going to hear her voice. She writes how she talks. Lots of big words, but also you can understand them, you know?
Just completely made up millennial shit also. Yeah. But that's all in there.
It's totally, you can hear her tone. It's like she's reading inside your head. Or that could just be a me thing. I don't know. But I think it's very much written in her tone. So I guess the follow-up to the hardest chapter to write was, what was your favorite chapter to write? And was it your favorite because it's just like the best chapter, or was it fun to write? I don't know. Maybe it's something else, but tell me.
So the easiest chapter to write made it my favorite. It's like chapter two. It's like why I hate gentle parenting. That was the easiest to write because I've spent the most time thinking about why I hate gentle parenting.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give any spoilers. You're going to have to buy my book and read it. We have talked about why we hate gentle parenting, but that was the easiest chapter to write just because it was just a rant. It was a
vent. And to be clear, it's not that we hate the concept of gentle parenting. It's that we hate the name.
The name.
I feel like we have to clear that up. It's the name. We have preferential names that are more encompassing of what it actually means. Yeah. Read the chapter. You'll like that.
But my favorite chapter in the book is actually further back. It's Are You Yelling or Just Loud? And we've done an entire episode on this. And it's my favorite chapter in the book because it was very fun to write. It was a very personal chapter because yelling was one of my biggest issues. Not my only big issue when I started sort of revising how I was parenting versus how I was raised, but it's the chapter that I think most people are very eager to confront. Yes, I want to be a better parent. And most people immediately in the same breath say, I want to yell less. I want to less is almost always at the top of a list. And that chapter is so incredibly vital to setting your own boundaries and parameters and expectations for your own behavior. Are you being too hard on yourself?
A lot of parenting isn't about your kids. It's about how you are reacting to your kids. And that's kind of the book. So.
Spring has sprung, and that means it's time for spring cleaning. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase.
Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys, so you can make sure you're shopping smarter, not harder, no matter what you're purchasing.
The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of a spring wardrobe refresh, new warm weather bedding, or a flight for that summer getaway.
Other apps give you points that don't amount to much. With Ibotta, just add your offers in the app, upload your receipt, and get real cash that you can cash out to your bank account, PayPal, or gift cards.
Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers, including all of your favorite grocery stores, Lowe's, Macy's, Sephora, Best Buy, and more. Right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 just for trying Ibotta by using the code CHILDPROOF when you register.
Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use code CHILDPROOF. That's Ibotta in the Google Play or App Store and use code CHILDPROOF. Did you know that summer is so close?
I've been trying desperately not to think about it.
And our kids are going to be home from sunup to sundown for several months. I love them so much. I love spending time with them. I have so many exciting things planned, but we're also going to have a lot of downtime. We need things to do for the rainy day that are going to keep them engaged and help them to be creative. And I found the solution, KiwiCo.
Oh, it's raining and gross outside? Cool. Would you like to dig up dinosaurs or build a windmill? Those are the Kiwi kits we have.
KiwiCo encourages kids to get outside, explore, and stay off their screens. Awesome projects from the summer adventure series like the Bottle Rocket Kit, where kids build an actual bottle rocket, help to turn outdoors into a playground of learning and fun. We've made the bottle rocket and it was incredibly fun.
You'll be surprised at how high quality the materials are too. These are real engineering, science, and art projects for children. As a parent, it can be hard to find creative ways to keep your children busy and challenged. KiwiCo does the legwork for you so you can spend quality time tackling projects together.
Build the best summer ever with KiwiCo. Get 20% off on your summer adventure series at KiwiCo.com with promo code ChildProofSummer. That's 20% off your summer adventure at KiwiCo.com. Promo code Childproof Summer.
Once more, KiwiCo.com, promo code Childproof Summer.
What was the hardest part of just writing a book? And I mean, like, personal challenges with it, like walls that you hit in like writer's block, whatever that might be. Like, what was the most challenging part for you?
Probably this is twofold. At first, it was my ADHD. I had
relatable
6 months to write the book. I wrote 90% of it in a month, and not the first month of the six, the last month of the six.
I remember that. I do remember those days.
No, I just ghosted everybody. I stopped existing.
Yeah. I would just get a FaceTime and be like, I'm emailing you something. Can you see if you like the way this sounds? And then just hang up. Yeah.
Yeah. Just give me feedback. And then they'd give me feedback and I wouldn't respond. I would just like incorporate the feedback. Yeah. Time management is always going to be a thing that I'm fighting the good fight on. Time management is what will kill me. I'm sure of this.
I mean, that's the whole reason we have a timer.
Right? Because we're not good at time management. Either you'd end up with nothing but 5 minute episodes or 7 hour episodes. There's
seven hours
without the timer.
Yeah.
But I think the other part of writing the book that I found difficult was convincing myself to fess up. I've never really struggled with describing the moments where I was a less than stellar parent, but that's the internet.
Yeah.
And as permanent as the internet is, the effect, the reach of those videos where I'm like, oh yeah, I used to spank my kids, that fades with time. And yeah, people will sometimes revive them and be like, well, for being a gentle parent, right, you used to spank your kid. You're right, I did. But again, every time it gets zombie revived, it dies a little faster every time. And so it's kind of easy to forget. But a book,
but feels fessing so permanent.
That feels way more permanent. Like, that's not going to fade.
Yeah.
And so having
and even
to
if
fess
you've
up
resolved
to the shit moments,
and made changes,
yeah,
and know that you're in a better place, it's the shame, yeah, of the perception. It's the mom shame. It's
yeah,
hey, I realized I did bad and now I'm doing differently, but now you know that I did bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, now we all
make mistakes.
How bad?
Yeah.
In the book, the story that was I argued the most with myself about including, my editor didn't say a word, like, loved that chapter actually, but in it I tell the story of being an oven killer. I have killed 3 ovens in my adult life.
Yeah.
Twice, just because I say with absolutely no self-deprecation, I was just an idiot about it, and I broke them.
Happens.
One time I dropped a casserole dish, like an overfilled, over heavy giant casserole, dropped it on the door, and like didn't just break the door, sheared the hinges off. The whole thing was a goner. I tried to clean one once and like Hulk ripped one of the burners out and ripped out the entire electrical component that makes the burner work.
This is honestly impressive. I've never broken an oven and I did I'm really bad at not breaking things. Wow.
I've broken three of them. And then the third and final one, and the reason it ends up in bad parenting is because I broke an oven because I lost control of a thing. And I technically threw it. I didn't intentionally throw it, but I did, in fact, throw it across the kitchen because I was so distracted screaming at my kid.
Tantrum.
I lost control of this thing. I threw a tantrum.
Yeah.
I tried to slip this hard lunchbox off my shoulder because it had a shoulder strap, but I was so amped. My motions were too big. Momentum caught. Physics kicked in. This thing went flying across the kitchen and shattered the oven door. And I broke my third oven because I was too busy in a bad mob moment to control my physical actions better. Like to I could have prevented that if I'd been level.
Yeah.
But I was nowhere near level. And I killed an oven. And this is after I made the jump. This isn't pre being intentional about my parenting. This is post. I was being intentional. I still lost my shit and I broke a damn oven.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing though. Like even me as a parent who has chosen to be an intentional parent from the beginning, like I've lost my shit too. Like that's being human, you know? And that's part of intentional parenting is when you do lose your shit, you teach your kids what it looks like to hold yourself accountable and pick up the pieces and apologize.
In my case, literally, like, and here's the thing is that moment of a really bad miscalculated movement that ended up costing the oven, that is what became the regulation. Because Abby and I just looked at each other and then we looked at the glitter glass, because I don't know if you've ever broken an oven door, but it's tempered glass, so it falls into these little crystalline squares.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it's very glittery. It looks like danger snow. Abby and I looked at each other and then we looked at the glitter glass on the ground and looked at each other and looked at the, and it was a very sitcom moment where we're just, the speed is increasing with every like nod. And then we're dying of laughter and it broke us both. It got us both out of the moment of tension.
I love the moments where you reach this peak and that escalation could really go off the deep end, but instead it falls into obscurity and everyone is just laughing at this weird moment because mom ripped an oven door off on accident because she was losing her shit about a lunchbox. What is that?
it's the oven killer is my unslam the door. Like I didn't mean for that to happen, but it became what broke the tension.
Right.
And it could have gone very differently.
Yeah, of course. Of course. And it's like in those moments, I think it's important to like not sit there with the what ifs because that just feeds into the mom shame and it's not helpful. But speaking of bad feelings about yourself, I do have another question. How are you coping with the imposter syndrome about being a published author?
I'm not.
I feel like it's important. It's important to provide context for this specific question, my friends, because Gwenna is my best friend. And for the last couple years, I don't know what time is, since the book's inception became a thing, I have continued to sit on the other side of the country. I mean, it's really only a few states away, but from several states away and texting Gwenna, like, no, you're really great. You've been writing for years. There's a reason that they want you to write a book and it's going to be awesome and it's going to help people. And she'd go, nah, I don't think so. And I go, okay, well, I'm going to believe in you until you believe in yourself. And that's, you know, I'm like a really good hype man, honestly. It's like
they really are.
Special
they really
skill.
Are. So no, my imposter syndrome, background, this is where our producers always get mad at us every time we reference this. You're not supposed to know the magic of a podcast. We are recording this episode a little less than a month before the book comes out. The book is currently out as you're hearing this because we released this episode after the book has released. But as we record this episode, I'm actually about to go on the book tour. My first event is actually the 7th of March. This episode comes out the 6th of March, but we're recording this way back in February. And when I say that my imposter syndrome is going to, no one's going to show up to these. Just, you're going, this is just going to be a public witch burning. You're going to show up to the first place and they're just going to have a pyre there and they're just going to throw copies of the book that no one wants at you, light them on fire and then walk away.
It's just turned into like, Fahrenheit 451 in your mind.
Yes. Like this, that's where my imposter syndrome is. So great question. Thanks.
So the on March 8th, okay. So this is going to be 2 days after this episode comes out, 1 day after your first book tour date. Mm-hmm. I will be posting a video of this clip here and then a second clip of me just doing a told you so dance. So just, you know, if you're listening to this, you only have to wait 2 days for it. So.
Well, and here's the best part is I am absolutely going to bawl like a baby at my very first book tour stop, because my very first book tour stop is March 7th in Midwest City, Oklahoma. And yes, that is a very stupid town name. I'm aware. We're all aware. We know. We didn't name it.
They got lots of casserole there.
Yeah, it's Midwest City. But I grew up in a town called Del City, which is a suburb of Oklahoma City and right next door to Midwest City. But for various reasons, my childhood library was the Midwest City Library. And bear with me on this story because it's a very five-year-old brain story. When I was about five, maybe six, that was the first time I learned that people wrote books. I don't remember what I thought before that.
You probably didn't.
Like there was books just was like, no one invented
knowledge.
Those.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So I was about five or six when I learned that people wrote books. And then I was about seven when I learned that people write books and other people put them in libraries. like there's this whole complicated network of how books are distributed amongst human beings.
Just like this black market of books where people are just, brain. They're just passing out books in the alleyway. Bring that one to the library.
And so it was about seven, and I had this very specific experience where this lovely gentleman, and I don't remember his name. He stopped working there. He retired when I was still actively using that library. So he was a much older gentleman, and I have tried like crazy to find out who this guy was and see if I can locate him, because he and I had a moment. I was in the nonfiction section and I didn't know what the Dewey Decimal System was. I didn't know how any of these things were shelved. And I was looking for a specific book, probably about dolphins, because I'm a child of the 90s and we all had a thing about
the
dolphins.
The animal books. Yeah. No, dolphins.
The animal books.
Right.
Anyway, I was looking for something and I asked him for help and he goes, oh, well, then he explained something about the Dewey Decimal System. And then he looked down at my seven-year-old face and realized I was not comprehending any of it. So he took my hand and he took me over and he said, I need you to help me. Can you help me? Yeah. And he handed me several books and he goes, you see this number? And he explained some stuff and he had me shelve some books.
Aww.
And I asked him, I was like, so people wrote these books and you take care of them for them? He goes, yes, I take care of the books so everyone can read what this person Aww. Loved so much. They wrote a whole book about. I was like, can I write a book about stuff I love? He goes, absolutely. And I hope one day I put your book on my shelf too.
Oh, I'm going to cry.
So I get to go back to that library and put my book about the thing that I wrote on the book down the crying.
Oh, you're going to put your damn book in the library.
I am.
I'm going to read your book again. I don't know what to do when people cry. I'm so sorry.
I don't know what to do when I cry. Shut up.
I love librarians. Librarians are the best.
Oh my gosh.
They're the best. They're just
absolutely life-changing experience. And it took me 33 years, but like I'm there.
Yeah.
I did exactly what he told me I could do.
You did it. You did it. And and one of these days you're going to believe in yourself about it. And I look forward to that day too.
You first.
This is not a competition. This isn't about me. Okay. thought about me. So, you know, next question.
I made it awkward. I'm sorry.
No, don't Becca, apologize.
You're gonna have a hell of a time editing this one.
I don't think it's awkward to cry. I'm the awkward one. It's me. Hi, I'm the problem.
By the time baby number two comes, you feel superhuman. You totally have it all figured out. You got this. But then the reality sets in. It's more than twice the work and can sometimes feel like absolute chaos. It's obviously not always going to go right, but you'll take any opportunity to make it a little easier. The Honest Company has a new line of calming products for the whole family, so your little ones will go down easier and you can have a moment of honest relaxation. The Calm Collection is a line of dreamy and calming lavender products to help make you and your baby's bedtime routine smoother. They have lavender wipes to clean up sticky hands and messes, a Calm lavender bath and body set that's both gentle enough for babies and soothing self-care for moms, lightweight lavender body oil to help wind down before bedtime, and fun purple printed pajamas made with 100% certified organic cotton. The sooner your little ones go to bed, the sooner you are able to relax. For a little while, anyway. Their Calm Lavender Collection is made with lavender essential oils that help calm babies before bed, and their super absorbent overnight diapers have up to 12 hours of leak protection. With a focus on sustainability and clean products, The Honest Company works with toxicologists at their in-house lab to create eco-friendly, safe, and effective products you can feel good using. Body products are naturally derived and designed for all skin types, while their diapers are made with plant-based materials that are ultra-soft and super absorbent. Good for your whole family and your environment. Try Honest for yourself. Shop at Target, Amazon, Walmart, and honest.com.
Hydrating doesn't have to be boring. Splash Refresher spices it up by putting fun and hydration in one. Because as a mom, I already have my hands full. Splash Refreshers are delicious, bright, flavorful, and available in 5 craveable flavors. It has 0 sugar, 0 calories, and a splash of sweetness for a hydrating and delicious beverage you'll come back to again and again.
My favorite flavor is the lemon. It really does taste like lemonade, so I'm getting hydrated, and it just feels like I'm drinking lemonade.
Splash Refresher perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with 0 sugar and 0 calories.
Available in 5 craveable flavors, wild berry, acai grape, pineapple mango, lemon, and mandarin orange, Splash Refresher is there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. There's a flavor for everyone to enjoy.
They are delicious, bright, flavorful, and hydrating, and 0 calories. So you can have fun flavored water without any guilt. Consider your hydrated self thriving.
Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart, or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
How did your family support you while you were writing? I know that Abby wrote the foreword in your book, right?
Yes. Confession time.
That was a question that you, okay.
There's a question mark on the end of that. So yes, Abby did write the foreword. It was her idea that she was like, you know, I was the first pancake, and we routinely joke about her being the first pancake. The children are like pancakes. The first one's always a little messed up. She's the one who got both versions of me as a parent, both the reactive mom stuck in survival mode and the responsive mom who had the systems and the support networks to be very intentional about mm-hmm. how I was parenting. And that was not necessarily like the choice to become a responsive parent did not just turn her into a responsive child. I still had to undo several years of parenting in a reactive mode. And so she's like, you know, I think it'd be cool if they heard that like there is a happy ending available. So what if I were to like write like a letter to them or something? I was like, you can write the foreword. She goes, okay. And then she didn't. What happened was
that is so surprising that a teenager was like, I'm going to do this thing, and then didn't.
So I wrote it like a copywriter. I very bare bonesed it. I tried to emulate the way she speaks and the way she talks. And then I handed that to her and I was like, hey, take a look at this. And then she looked at it and she goes, seriously, mom, when have I ever used the word elevate? It's like you don't even know me. And then she wrote the rest of it.
So you gave like a template. Yeah, you gave the template. She made it right. All right.
And she did keep some of the stuff that I had suggested, but it was all based off discussion. So yes, she did write the foreword, but it was a collaborative effort. And that makes perfect
sense.
Yeah.
It's parenting. Come on.
She is not, she loves to read, but she's not really that version of creative. She's very creative in other ways, but not like that. Like, words aren't her forte and they are mine. Mm-hmm. So I was super happy that she was as involved in that process, because it was not necessary at all. The book would have been fine without a foreword from my teenager. But I'm really glad that
special.
She...
It's so special.
It does.
I love it.
It does.
So...
As far as the rest of the family, the littles did not give one flying fuck.
Wow. How could they? I'm so disappointed in them. Those little five-year-olds not doing their part in mom's
book. They were
three
and four at the time.
Right, right.
So that's how long this process has been going on. No, they didn't give a fuck. Jack was great. Jack was when I'd be like, all right, dude, I have to write. And the thing about being a creative, even if you're writing a nonfiction, it still takes creativity. The thing about being creative is if I finally like jumped a mental hurdle about a chapter that I've been working on in the middle of dinner, what ends up happening for me is I have to stop eating dinner.
I have to do it right now.
Yeah. I have to do it right now or I'm not mm-hmm. going to have, it's not going to stay.
Yeah. And even if you write it down in notes, it's going to be different. You have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Jack for about 2 months was an absolute champ of me just dropping what I was doing and running to my computer to pound out like a paragraph. Like he was on it. It got to the point that it was just single syllable book. And then like, all right, I've got the kids. Like, we're good. Like on the move. Jack, however, has not read my book.
Really? I mean,
that's
I guess he's
he
parents with you
him
too.
Every single word as it came out of my head.
He got the original audiobook.
Pretty much.
You just dictated it out of
rendition.
Him. Yeah, he doesn't need to read it. I mean, number one, you were just telling him about it. Number two, he parents with you, so he's pretty aware.
He parents with me, right? He was right there for all of it. Yeah.
Why do I need to read this story? I was there. Yeah. Thank you for not breaking my oven.
It was his oven. We were together at the time. He had to buy the oven to replace the one I broke.
That is someone who really loves you.
In fact, during the oven killing story, we were still laughing about it when Jack came home from work with his own lunchbox and he looks at us just losing our minds in the shattered oven. He said nothing. He just turned around and went back into the garage to start taking his boots and stuff. Never mind. I don't need to be involved in this at all.
This is not for me. I will return at a later date when I can ask the questions I need to.
Yes. Pretty much. That's much of Jack's life living with me. I'm not going to ask questions. She'll explain it when she needs to.
Yeah, that's Jim's experience with me. He doesn't have to ask questions. He can't actually get a word in edgewise to ask a question. So, you know. So what about your mom? How is your mom through this process?
My mom has been great. My mom she's an absolute unicorn of her type in that she raised me in a very authoritarian household. What I say goes. You do what I say because that's what I said. Mm-hmm. She wasn't so much a children should be seen and not heard, but she was also a you will respect me type of mom. She was also a single mom. We were also consistently and constantly broke. Like, broke.
Yeah.
So there were a lot of factors. She has been uniquely open to me not doing anything like how she did it. She's often had questions. Why are you doing it this way? And sometimes my answer is because the way you did it didn't work. And this was the first thing I thought of to do it not that way.
Yeah.
And she could take offense to that. But for the most part, she's been fairly introspective of, yeah, no, you're right. I can see how I handled that was maybe not the best. It did not produce the results that I expected. So, yeah, I don't get it. But no, I agree that how I handled it wasn't this way. And I can't think of anything else either. So, sure, have fun. Yeah. I get good luck. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's been uniquely supportive in not just that I parent differently than her, that she's been willing to be introspective and go, oh, that hurt you. I didn't know that hurt you.
Oh.
Huh. And then she's apologized to me. And then she's also explained herself. Oh, that hurt you. okay, I see how that was, but let me provide some context that I couldn't provide when you were eight.
Yeah. We love to see growth. And here's the thing that we always say, you are never too old to change the way you parent. Even if you are an adult with adult children, it matters when your parent says, I see you. It matters so much. Okay. I actually sneaked at the timer this time and I have one last question.
Okay.
Is this book for people who are not parents? Like, can people who don't have kids or maybe don't want kids, like childless folk who, for whatever reason, maybe they never want kids or they just don't yet, is this book for them?
Yes and no. Mostly yes. And the reason I say mostly yes is the goal of parenting is not to raise good kids, but to raise good people. And if your parents struggled in a unique way to get to that mindset, and they left some holes in your development, in your education, in your emotional awareness, in your emotional maturity, then yes, this book may explain some of the decisions that your parents made, and give you an alternative to consider. So if the only example you've got is your parents, and you know that's not peak, that's not desirable, that didn't go the way they expected or they hoped, it hurt you more than it helped, this may provide some perspective, not to explain what they did. What they did might very well have been wrong, but it could at least give you, oh, that's the other option. Had my parents made different choices, I might have been able to learn or explore or play with this idea of how I react to other people and how I show empathy and how I communicate.
And I would add in, I think that the reparenting folks, the people who didn't have the parents they needed and are working to be kinder to themselves and treat themselves the way that the people who were responsible for caring for them should have, great book for them.
Yeah.
Great book for them.
I do know that there's a lot in here for teachers and daycare providers and care providers, just because it's talking a lot about emotionally forward communication, about being empathetic, about kids are just people who aren't good at being people yet. So of course we have to show them a bunch of stuff that we just take for granted now. And then the final group of people are what I call pre-parents, in that they're pretty sure they want to have kids at some point in their life, but they're not there yet. Either they're still looking for a partner, or they're still waiting on careers, or they're still very, very young. They're 16, 17 years old. They know deep down they want to be a parent. They're just not there yet. Conditions are not right. This book, I would advise for that particular group with just the tiniest grain of sand. Because to borrow something that you have recently explained to me, Tori, I'm going to use one of your analogies. If your kid walks up and asks you to explain math, you could start with multiplication. You could. You could theoretically get them all the way up to multiplication by just starting there. But you're probably going to start with, well, let's discuss what a number is. This is the number zero.
And let's learn to count. Yeah.
So we're going to start at counting. So this book, if you are a pre-parent, may feel a little bit like discussing addition when you haven't learned to count yet. It's not that it's unattainable. It's not that you can't follow it. It's just that sometimes there are, in parenting books, situations described that you're like, I never want to deal with that ever in my life.
Yeah. But you would be surprised, and this isn't in a way to dismiss anyone's feeling of that, but the amount of things that as a parent you end up doing that you really don't want to do and are perhaps very disgusting and you don't have a choice but to do it because it's for your kid and their health. And then you go, I never wanted to do this. I didn't sign up for this, but you do it. You grin and bear it. Here we are.
I have severe and clinical emetophobia. And I have that's a fear of vomiting. If I go to a hospital for any reason whatsoever, they have to give me anti-nausea medication. I have to get Zofran. Because if there's even a hint, it's going to make it worse and it's going to send me into a panic attack. And I have caught my children's vomit in my hands.
That's if you just get to that point. You're just like, okay, I'll take it. It's better than getting on the couch. It's new. And that's the timer. What a way to end it.
And we end on vomit.
Well, thank you for listening to Childproof from Betches Media. And we want to hear from you. And we want to know what you thought of Mama Cusses, a field guide to responsive parenting and trying not to be the reason you need therapy by TikTok sensation, Gwenna Lathland. So please give us an email with how much you love the book. It's childproof@betches.com. We hope you're loving the book. We know you will. If you haven't bought it yet, this is your sign.
Please be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Our episodes are available everywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts, including Apple and Spotify. And if you are a Spotify or Apple listener, please leave us a rating. They really, really help, and we love reading them.
And make sure you're following us. I'm Tori Phantom in all the places. She's Mama Cusses, and follow Betches Moms too.
And remember, sometimes our kids are assholes.
And sometimes it's us when we call Gwenna a TikTok sensation.
Childproof is produced by Rebecca Sals-McCapp and Sean Kilby. Editing by Shannon Sassone. Social media by Lauren Salome. Guest booking by Allie Friedlander. Be sure to follow us at Betches Moms on Instagram and send us your email at childproof@betches.com.
Thank you to our sponsor, Splash Refresher. Meet the water beverage that loves self-care as much as you. Just because you have to hydrate doesn't mean it has to be tasteless. Splash Refresher makes hydration deliciously easy, perfectly blending refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories.
Available in 5 craveable flavors, there's a flavor for everyone to enjoy. My favorite flavor is the lemon.
The mandarin orange is my favorite flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches.